League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
here
right
for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. Well, it's easy. It feels good.
It was. Wasn't it, man?
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout out to my man JP holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159.
Whoa, Thursday afternoon. You know what they call me, K-Dub? They call me the golf god out here, son. How do you feel about that? They're calling me the golf god out here right about now. Now, granted, this is how we start off a Thursday, hot out of the box. Jonas Blix is 9-under, which is ridiculous at this point right now, so we'll take him out of the equation. Yeah. But I went Russell Henley and Mark Hubbard here. At the John Deere, looks like Hubbard is tied for 7th at 4-under right now, and Henley is 3-under, tied for 11th here. Now, Henley's 14-1, Hubbard is 60-1, so I'm just saying, people out here calling me the golf god right now, getting hot.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's a big leap from golf guy, but...
By the way, last week, K-Dub, by the way, I did have, but I didn't bet on it, so I can't take like credit for it, but I want to. Like, Ricky Fowler was my guy last week on Thursday. I can't really take credit for that, but I'm taking credit now because it looks like I might double down this weekend.
What is even the – I don't remember your connection to him the last week.
You're just asking for, like, a winner last week. He's like, Ricky Fowler's playing good. I'll take him, but I didn't bet it. So, I mean, I won last week. I'm looking at Henley and Hubbard to take the crown this weekend, both of them.
Yeah, I know Henley's that pre-tournament favorite, so the 3-under works there. What was the process between him and Hubbard? I don't remember.
It was real simple. It was who's playing well lately and who's played well on this golf course in the past. That's simple. Okay. That's all it was, really. So, and again, you don't have that big field where you're worrying about the Dustin Johnsons and the Brooks Koepkas and Rory McIlroys of the world heading into this tournament. So, just like, you know what? Let's ride a guy that's confident on the golf course and also playing well. So, I picked two guys out, but my guy Blix. I mean, stop the man. The 62 today. Stop. Stop. Well, he's going to go backwards tomorrow.
Thing with the Blix performance though is like obviously 9-under is great, but Seamus Power, who's currently 6-under with 10 holes left to play, he was 6-under on it through his first 8 holes. He has parred every single hole since he finished up on the 8th hole, which is kind of he had dropped down to I think as much as plus 800. It is incredible, but for Seamus Power, anybody's out there, and like you said, a field like this, of this size, there are people out there who have Seamus Power tickets. The fact that this guy was 6-under through 8, and you're going to leave this course 6-under, is going to feel disappointing.
By the way, you know, it's not going to be disappointing me with, I think, what is it, 7 plays in this afternoon? I got Matt McClain of the Reds in RBI, Spencer Steer of the Reds RBI, Stone Garrett of the Nationals with an RBI, Lane Thomas of the Nationals with an RBI, Matt Vierling of the Tigers with an RBI, Andy Ibañez with an RBI for the Tigers today. All that plus money, you know what I snuck in there, Kev? Oakland Athletics over 3.5 today. We're in business.
There it is.
So I got a 7 spot out here in the first 2 games. That's how you started off with golf action, rocking and rolling. I love these first 2 games. Like most people be like, hey, come on now. Like, what do you mean? These 2 games stink. Not necessarily. They might be the 2 best games on the card today for getting after it. Yeah.
Right.
It really might be. Just have fun. Yes.
Yeah. You're like, no. This is what's the appropriate two games here, the first two. There's no little DK opt-in get a boost here?
No, there was no boost today. I mean, there was, I think, a boost for a 25% same-game parlay, but it really wasn't going to do that. But they had both of those books, be honest with you. FanDuel and DraftKings have done a very good job now that's really catering to baseball season. It was almost like every single day you were getting, like, even on the 4th of July, 76% boost, and that was when I hit, which is great when you get those, which turned, I think it was maybe Lane Thomas, like a plus 290 price. But I wish they did that every day because, again, they're not saying, like, hey, unlimited, man, bet $5,000 will give you a 100% boost on your profit. Like, no, it's 25 to 50 bucks, and they're going to boost you up sometimes 100%, 50%, 25%. All that matters. I like when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, but just for me on this, because I'm excited to go through the baseball, but I've got Adam Hadwin's round score over 68.5. He's currently sitting on a 69 with one hole. So yeah, it's all to play for here. It's a par four as well. So
what if he birdies it, you lose. If he pars, you win, or bogey, you win. Okay, come right down the last hole.
Correct. So he's not a part of any of like the. Feet. That's the one thing about golf that can be a little bit tricky when you're trying to watch. You know what I mean? It's just like
it's terrible
for your golf.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible, especially when you just go to like the because if you watch, let's just say, the FanDuel Sportsbook here, and you can watch the Nationals Reds game just through the stream. You know who's up? It's really quick. Golf. Sometimes you go to these apps. Like 20 minutes go by, you know the guy's done the hole. It still hasn't updated yet. It is maddening how they can't get Goff down to a science where you know immediately what's going on. But having said that, FanDuel does do a pretty good job with that. Now we're letting you guys know where they are on the course. Times are changing. Major League Baseball is underway. It's going to be a special day right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network. Don't you go anywhere. NBA talk? Yeah, it's coming.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for RBIs, looking for runs this afternoon. Some muggy conditions too, K-Dub. Cincinnati, Washington, 91 degrees at first pitch, 80 degrees at first pitch here in Detroit for that Oakland game, which is due up to start. Probably actually just underway right now. I am looking, which is odd, because you say to yourself typically, Oakland, just keep on moving through. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't always work out. But if there was a day to take Oakland, today would be it at a 3.5 price. That's a good 3.5 run price. Four has to cash that ticket. It's still Oakland, but the numbers actually make sense for Oakland today. We'll watch it, see it come in. Sometimes a little bit superstitious in some afternoon action. Yesterday, K-Dub, afternoon action, I did cash because I had my same game parlay was on the Houston Astros. And my goodness. It was Jose Abreu to get a base hit, which he did. Actually, got a couple base hits to win the game, which is the Astros, which they did. They had a 5-0 lead in that game to start. It was great. Mm-hmm. But what was slipping my mind? Kyle Tucker hit out of the 3-hole, Kevin. Yeah. Now, he ended up getting a base hit, which was a almost like a fake shift base hit, a slow ground ball like to like third base where shortstop was really the only guy over there. But that guy who I had to get an RBI, Kevin, he hits in the two double plays. He gets thrown out at second base. And the very next pitch, Abreu hits in the center field for a base hit, which means he would have scored on that, which would have cashed in Abreu prop. I went 1-for-3 on RBI props because that guy was so bad in that game, which included the bottom of the eighth inning. Bases loaded, one out, he comes up, full count, strikeout. I mean, it was just a rough day for Tucker, man. Yes.
Has he been on fire recently?
His numbers were awesome. Like I was saying on the radio yesterday, like by myself, I'm saying, look, if there's, because I took three guys and then I'm going 1-for-3, which I didn't lose that much money because you cash one of them, it's plus money. But I was like, if there's one guy on your card, it's got to be Kyle Tucker today.
Right.
And he had every chance to do damage and was, first of all, I can't even believe he got the single was the worst single you ever see, but I'll take it because it helped me cash a ticket. But and then I was like, here comes redemption, man. Bottom, just put a 300-foot fly ball in play, runner scores. I mean, we go home and party. And he was awful in that game.
What's crazy about that, though, is just, it's not like, oh, this guy was great, didn't get an RBI. No, that's not the, It's that that guy had all of those chances.
Yes.
A guy that's that hot, that has that many chances, there's no way they're not going to cash in on them. So that really is very surprising to hear.
Yes, the strikeout with base loaded, awful. The double play is ridiculous because also, Kevin, Diaz hit a home run his first at bat, knocked one off the scoreboard, which took him right out. But I went 3-4-5 in that game, which meant like, okay, runners are on for Tucker, so pass the baton. And he kept hitting the double plays, like erasing the next two guys behind him. I always talk about like, hey, look at that, runners on second and third, nobody out. Ooh, if I could just get to the next batter, 3-run home run. Thanks, guy. Like, I'm not going to get anything out of this inning. But Tucker was just killing innings. And you know what happens, right? I was like, oh, I like this. He's stealing second base. It was a perfect throw that got him. But the very next pitch, Abreu singles. I'm like, of course he did, because that would be a run scored point, and that would catch an RBI. Perfect. So he was ruining everything all the way across the board. But today's a new day here, so hoping for. Looks like both teams through the top of the first inning. The Reds didn't score. Nationals come to plate. The Athletics didn't score. And the Tigers come to the plate. So we'll keep an eye on that situation here. But there's a lot of stuff coming through. Reports here from the NBA, if we start there, Kevin. Dame Lillard, teams reaching out to his camp now and trying to gauge his interest, being rebuffed, saying, right now, we only want to take phone calls from the 305.
Yeah, I think that they're doing everything in their power to make the Miami thing a reality. And I don't mind opening up this conversation, though, like, because everybody has been very, very nice to Lillard in their coverage of this. And I understand why. Again, I think the Blazers deserve an endless amount of slander for the way they've gone about basically everything. But I don't know if it's fair that Mr. Loyalty signed a 2-year contract extension and is now basically trying to act like he's a free agent.
Yes.
It's not great. Like, again, trade requests are normal. But saying, hey, I need to be, put me on Miami, it's really extreme what we are getting from Lillard. The fact that apparently, Donnie, both Boston and Philly are interested in Lillard, and Lillard is like, no. Like, those are winning situations that he has on the table. And he's like, what don't you understand? I talk to Jimmy and Bam on the phone every single day, and I refuse to play basketball anywhere that's not Miami. It's like Dame kind of went this extreme end of, you know, loyalty kind of is how everybody feels.
Yes,
but now he's going the furthest I've ever seen anybody go in terms of I have one option on the board. And if I'm not playing for that exact team, I will retire right now.
Yes, no, and I agree with you there because it was, and honestly, we always talk about this, particularly from my angles. Like Dame always said, like, I want to end my career here. It's about the grind. And then all of a sudden saying, well, I only want to go to the team that made it into the, you know, championship round last year, the NBA Finals, which, again, I'm fine with. Like, LeBron broke the mold a long time ago that made it okay to switch teams and be super teams and win, and that's what it's going to be. Like, it's a lot easier now to do that. It's a lot easier.
I don't think that's fair, and I should probably get over it, Donnie. But, you know, LeBron has never requested a trade. LeBron has signed deals that have given him flexibility.
No, not requesting a trade. I'm talking about it's okay to go to a team that's ready-made for a superstar. It's okay now. But I'm not holding it. We're not holding it against people. Well, Jordan would never. Enough with that nonsense.
Yeah,
nobody cares about
that. People were doing that in Jordan's era. Like, the last time we remember an all-time great Blazer leaving was Clyde! Clyde going to Houston. Like, again, people just hate LeBron. And see, the funny thing is, it's you don't even hate LeBron, but it's people say it. If you say something enough, it can become true. And people have said this is all LeBron's fault enough that it's become true, despite the fact that if LeBron did something like this, people would pass out. Like, Donnie, if LeBron today, if the news broke from Chris Haynes' desk, LeBron has demanded the Lakers trade him to the Miami Heat, we wouldn't even know what to do with ourselves. But he's never done that. Yes, he's requested they get rid of Westbrook, but here's the thing. He was right. So it's fine. Like, if Lillard gave Portland a list and it was only really good basketball teams, right, that would be par for the course. If Lillard says, hey, listen, I'll go to Miami, Philly, I'm interested in Brooklyn, and I'll entertain a move to X, Y, like, okay, fine. The fact that he's like, I'm literally like Miami, Brooklyn. You know what? Never mind. Tell them Brooklyn's off the list too. I won't even play for Brooklyn. Like it's really interesting. And I just saw a recent report on it that hit my phone that said that he was considering the Warriors before the CP3 thing. That has to be some type of Damian Lillard pretending that he's not doing Miami or bust, or he's trying to stick it to Warriors fans. There's no way Lillard was considering Golden State. I completely refuse to believe that that's true. Do you believe that for a second?
No, because it would seem like anti what he was trying to preach. So at least you could say, well, it's Miami. It's not like a superpower team with multiple championships over the past couple of years. Wouldn't it be like the opposite? Hey, respect the grind. I want to go to Golden State. Like, now, hold on now. What do you mean you want to go to Golden State? What were you saying before this entire time? So, I mean, it comes around for sure.
Just the team that's been picking on him forever, it felt like Golden State. That's the team that led him to say the respect the grind thing, I think, in some ways. And all of a sudden, he wants to go there. And again, he could like try and play the hometown angle. But it's so funny, like CP3 might come off the bench. Like if Lillard was there, Lillard and Steph on the same backcourt. Like you take the talent, Donnie. I'm not saying you don't, but it's such a crazy concept, the idea of those guys, you know, being your point guard and your shooting guard. I don't know. It's very
When do we get a decision on it, though? I always like to ask you, like, what are we talking about here? What's the decision?
It's really whenever Portland feels like they've done enough to save face with their fan base and around the league, that they did everything they could to get the most out of this deal possible. Because I think everybody's aware that the end result here is Lillard in Miami, because that is the end result here. We're hearing better news about the Hero return. That's going to be a legitimate first-round pick that'll be traded in return for Tyler Hero, because they're obviously not interested. I don't know, but it's going to end up with him in Miami.
There we go. A lot more talk to go, including I just got a double with a guy on base and no RBI. Come on now. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here Thursday afternoon on Moneyline Sports Grid Network Sirius XM Channel 159. Steer was up for me, Kevin, and hit a ball to the warning track. But obviously, there was only a guy on second base, wasn't on third. He moved to third, and looks like now we're under a rain delay for the Reds and the Nationals, which there was some rain in the forecast. So looks like that's going to creep in and delay that game for some time here. So we'll just focus on the Tigers and the Athletics, with the Tigers do have a 2-0 lead on a Javi Baez, Kev's guy, with a 2-run single here. Doesn't really help me out too much, because why? Yeah, I got a double with a runner on first base, and they said, hey, let's go to second and third. And I always hate when it works out well for the third base coach. He goes, hey, look at this. Base hit behind him. We scored 2 runs. We don't got to worry about it. And away we go. Madness here, as I'm hoping to get some runs here now from the Oakland Athletics side, but we might be waiting here a little bit on the Reds and the Nationals. By the way, keeping it with Major League Baseball, did you see the Yankees-Orioles game yesterday, the highlights? Did you see them at all?
No, actually, I didn't.
The cameraman got hit with a double play ball, which means you flip it over to the second baseman or the shortstop. He fires at the first, goes way over his head. And he hit the cameraman in the head. Now, how does that happen? Not to say that you can't hit a person, because it's happened before. But isn't that cameraman focused on the play? What happens on that? Like, he doesn't see that coming when he's looking through the camera?
What do you think? I type in Yankees? Oh, you're slandering the cameraman?
I'm slandering the cameraman. I'm not even slandering the guy who threw the ball over the guy's head, which is ridiculous, like 10 feet over his head. I'm slandering the cameraman for getting hit in the face with a baseball.
Oh,
I don't know how that happens.
You don't see that. Are you kidding me?
What's he doing?
You don't.
What's he watching?
The camera. The ball's completely out of line there. If your face is barreled in a camera, you're not going to be able to figure that out to that degree.
Why not?
No,
you are focused on the second baseman turning that double play, and you get hit in the head with the baseball?
Yeah.
You don't move?
Sure.
They're showing it right now live on the MLB Network.
Yeah, the depth perception there, it is completely off. Like, there's no way you're going to go from that to being able to sort that out. That, no, you're I mean, that's an unfortunate situation. I actually was trying to almost like avoid seeing the clip, but yeah, no, when you're that, because that's not where you expect the ball to be going. You know what I mean?
No, I sort of get it, but I don't understand. Like, if you're watching the play, like, what's going on out there? Like, why? How do you get hit in the head? Like, you're now, I could see, like, well,
that's
hey, look, he was focused on home plate
as well.
But yeah, but if a ball's like you're looking at it though, like the whole play is in your little camera.
No, no, no. But that's the thing. He himself is not looking at it. Okay, he is looking at a camera lens. Like the depth perception is way out of whack. DRS. If I told you to have to watch a baseball through a lens and then at the last second pick your head up and catch the baseball, you'd never be able to do that.
Well, 100% I would.
No.
100%.
Being ridiculous.
That's like saying a home run out there into the seats and the cameraman's tracking and gets hit in the head with the ball. How? I don't get it.
That's even worse. First of all, but that like that's a different level. That's like telling me that if there was a guy that I had to put behind home plate. Like, look, that ball's coming in so quick, Donnie. It's a complete rarity. And that's not the lens that you're... Like, your eyesight is not the same as looking through a camera. I can't even believe this has to be explained to you. This isn't even about take.
I don't know. Why is it different, though? Like, it's like if I'm watching, like, my TV right now and a ball is fired right at me as if I'm watching, like, through a glass mirror, like, I'm going to, like, get a little bit out of the way or move the camera. You could see that ball coming right into your coconut. You know what I mean? Like, people get it. By the way, what's up with people getting hit in the head recently, man? Golf tournaments, baseball, ridiculous.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is I had to. I couldn't. They were never going to show it here. Adam Hadwin, bogeys, 18.
There you go.
Shoots.
That's the way to do it.
My man.
There you go. Cash money millionaires. Yeah, we'll follow that one too. We'll see where it ends up overall. But by the way, also keeping it like Vegas last week, right? And obviously the golf tournament was there, which. Who knows who cared about, but you do have the Summer League, which is big news, and you have a massive debut tomorrow to start the weekend off with JP. You there? Come on. Now, here's what we're going to do. Yeah, JP's locked in today. I made him pull a clip when we talk about Kevin mastering your craft and understanding when you did something wrong. JP, give me side by side here. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Is it queued up or you need a minute here? All right, so he needs a second. You like this, Kevin. Okay. Now, what's the next one? Let's see. Where is
Victor Wembanyama?
No.
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Do those side by side again. Do the bad one first and then the second one. Something, I think I might have heard this wrong.
Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama.
Now, the next one. Oh, he got a little bit better. See that? Yeah, yeah. He got a little bit better there, right?
Still
wasn't as clean as I thought the second one was, though.
Victor Wembanyama.
This is ridiculous.
It's pretty good right here. Well, I mean, that's how you get the thing started off in Vegas the right way. Well, I was trying to give this good guy a little bit of credit, you know. Came back, botched it, but I think he, you know. Sort of clean on the second time around, but that's not even where I'm going, Kevin, with Wembanyama on the court. That was just a little like prelude into it. Have you seen the Sphere out there in Vegas? I don't know if I talked about it with you last week. It might have been just me going solo, but I couldn't help but notice it on the golf tournament. It was in the background. Massive, massive black sphere out there, which is actually an arena that seats like 15,000 to 20,000 people for concerts. Supposed to be outrageous. Doesn't open for another 3 months, but all the LEDs, that huge light board, is active on the outside. Have you seen, like, through social media or anything, what it actually looks like? It is wild. It really, like, it's going to cause accidents, it feels like. It's so wild.
No,
like an actual, like, it's. I think it's the structure is what, 365 feet tall, I want to say. It almost looks like a big golf ball or a big basketball, but it's an arena, not built specifically for like basketball games, but for concerts, like a stage, a huge light and soundboard, and it's supposed to be like the best concert experience you can ever have. And it's the first one they built, spent like, what, $2 billion on it? MSG spent it. So they're out there trying to say, okay, this could be one thing that we can put in like every city. But the LED board finally lit up on the 4th of July, and it was awesome. Like the things they can do with that thing, where it almost looks like it's a transformer out there with what's going off, wild stuff. I can't believe technology gets this far. It's pretty impressive. It really is.
When was the last time you were out in Vegas, DRS? I feel like you probably used to frequent the
I did. I used to like to get out to Vegas like once a year, once every other year at least, for about maybe a, I don't know, 7 or 8 year stretch. But I want to say the last time I was out there was, let me see here. What'd that be? Let's go. I want to say 2018, the year after, I believe, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I was out there, and that was it. 28. So it's been at least 5 years since I made it out to Vegas. I like Las Vegas a lot too. You've been there. You said you haven't been there. You have been.
I have just the once, but you know me. I was there for wrestling. Like, I mean, I experienced it like to a degree. You know what I'm saying? But the main reason I went is because it was the first ever AEW pay per view. But it was cool. I liked it. I mean,
summer, winter? When was it?
It was Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, so you got some nice heat out there. Yeah, I'm a big Vegas guy. Like, I mean, granted, it is hot during the day, but if you like pools, like I like pools, and I don't like pools that are cool. Like, ooh, that's refreshing to go in. Like, give me a pool with like 90 degree water, which is basically what Las Vegas is because it's so hot outside. Like, that's refreshing to me, and I love that. But I've been to Vegas in the winter times. Once was like, I want to say like early January, and the other time was like late December. So I've been out there in cold and also heat. It's not bad in the winter because you're still wearing, you know, I don't know. You don't have to wear a jacket per se, but like a hoodie weather, it's nice. But I do prefer the heat and the pools and all that has to offer. Now, granted, walking from casino to casino in that heat, not the greatest thing, but I like desert heat as compared to muggy, ridiculous, oh my goodness, I'm going to die if I walk outside, stuff that we get sometimes here in the Northeast. Awful. I like dry heat, K-Dub.
Are you a beach or a pool guy in preference?
I don't, to be perfectly honest, again, I just said I like the Vegas pool scene because it's a little bit different. It's, you know, 110 degrees. So it's like, hey, man, let's lay out by the pool and go in. I love that stuff. But if you ask me, like, normal day, like, if you go to the shore, right, and you have a hotel, and right next to the hotel is a nice pool, and then you look over and it's like, there's the ocean, I'm a beach guy all day long. All day long.
Mm.
Give me the beach every single time.
But
over
do you like going in the ocean or not?
I love going in the ocean, yes. Oh, okay. When it's warm. I don't like a freezing cold ocean. I don't like anything that's cold. If you give me a decent ocean, which means my affinity for, like, the Caribbean and the islands, you put me in crystal clear water that's like 85 plus, that's like heaven on earth for me. I will just sit in there with a drink and a cocktail for hours on end like I'm a fish. I love that.
It's been quite some time since the old DRS was able to vacay, man.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
oh, I had those pictures too. Snorkeling, water that's like 30 feet deep. You see to the bottom. I mean, God, come on, man. Get me back out there.
That was essentially the last time you took off. And that's just because it was already booked.
I mean, what's up with these conditions they make me work here at Sports Grid, K-Dub? And why is everybody get off but me over here? I mean, I can't even pay. But if I take a day off, I might lose my house at this point. So that's
way that's. I mean, it's certainly the way you act. I'll say that.
Yeah, people put the pressure on me. You got to show up. Uh-huh. You got to keep working. You got to stay through it. And now we're in the summer months. And, boy, we are corrupt. By the way, we're close to autopilot season. And Kevin will tell you, anybody can do our job here during football season. Anybody out here can sign up here and do our job. But during the summer months, that's where we hold it down. That's why we talk about stuff like this. The Vegas Sphere, having fun, Major League Baseball. Somebody score some runs for me today. Why don't you? We'll be back. It's Moneyline on a Thursday. It's Donnie and Kevin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right back out of here. Having some fun on a Thursday afternoon. Major League Baseball in progress right now. One game on a delay. One game with the Detroit Tigers up 2-0 here over the Oakland Athletics. Some news in the NBA. Blazers did match Matisse Thybulle's offer sheet. So he is going to stay with the Blazers. Made that decision there pretty quickly. And again, sometimes you look at that, Kevin. It's like, oh, we're not going to re-sign the guy. In NBA contract terms, that's peanuts for what Thybulle was being offered. For a legitimate guy that you can put in your rotation, it wasn't surprising to me that Thybulle got matched on his offer. Was it surprising to you that they matched it as opposed to him wanting to go to Dallas?
Okay, so it's a really it's a good question you ask, because on one end, I guess it's not surprising because it's not a ton of money for a young guy that certainly has some value to him, right? It was maybe a little surprising, though, in that it did seem like such a rock-solid move, maybe, Donnie, where it was like, maybe they're going to kind of, I guess not let Dallas have him, but just my eye was so on Dallas. Like, we did the show this morning, we kind of talked about that move with some level of finality there. I guess I would have expected the reporting, because usually they have a good indication if the offer sheet will be matched. And since it didn't say anything about that, I was like, I guess that Dallas is going to be able to get him, because what in the world do the Mavs do now? Thybulle was literally going to come in, I thought, Nani, and be their starting small forward and best defensive player on the team. Like, that's a bit of a tough blow there.
That's interesting. I mean, because I don't really, again, seeing what Thybulle did in Philadelphia, not really been able to work on his game, but his numbers did improve from going to Philadelphia to Portland, which means he probably got more playing time. He's like, hey, man, got nothing to lose. Go out there, shoot it, and feel relaxed and confident. And you have to say, if I miss this one three-point shot, I'm going to get yelled at by Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and everybody, and James Harden here for the Philadelphia 76ers. But it was an interesting move overall. By the way, I wanted to bring this up because you weren't on the air with us, and it wasn't even a big deal. But so many times you look in the NBA like, this player got what? I can't believe how much money he made. Bol Bol got cut from the Orlando Magic. Or should I say, like, they didn't pick up his option. Now, most times you would look and say, well, it was $12.4 million. It was $16 million. It was $9 million. It was like $2 million. And the funny thing is, I don't follow Bol Bol all that much to say, boy, how is he producing? But, Kevin, he's like a 9-6 guy at $2 million a year. Did I miss something?
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's... Look, Bol Bol's one of those things where if I showed you highlights only... of every player in NBA history, and you had to rank them based off a two-minute highlight reel, you might say Bol Bol's the best player in the history of basketball. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the way he's moving around out there. But that's just not reality, right? The reality is that's not him. That's not who he is. He's just clearly never been able to find any type of consistency in this league, whether that's the defensive side of the ball, inefficiency on offense, for whatever it is, Bol Bol is just not a, I don't even want to say high level. Like, he's not a winning basketball player, which he's not a guy that needs to be on a roster, I guess, right? Like, he'll float around, you know, he's close to it, but he's just clearly not someone that's going to stick.
Like, I was expecting, like, to check in, like, Bol Bol averaged 2.6 points per game and 1 rebound. It's like, that's probably not any future. But the fact that he actually had legitimate statistics and the price point is basically, like, what do you have to lose to give up on that guy and him getting cut? So who knows who he's going to go to? But it's one of those, again, where it's not so much the player itself and what he brings. It was, like, how much does he make? Those are his stats, and he doesn't get paid, but other guys with, like, similar stats, extensions for, like, $30, $40 million, but it's all relative on what you're expecting to get out of those players in the future. But how about our guy Mo Bamba? Do you know where Mo Bamba landed?
Of course.
Yeah, Philadelphia 76ers. Guys, I mean, music, everything's coming with this guy.
I mean, what's the story? Is Embiid out? Make way for Big Mo? What's the... By the way, did I see something that apparently Doc Rivers is a big reason you guys picked up
Pat Bev?
What was the full story there?
I don't know. It must have been like, hey, Sixers are interested in me. What do you think? Great city, man. You got to get there, blah, blah, blah. Which, again, good on Doc and people that are like that. And by the way, Doc should be like that. More money than he can knows what to do with here. The Sixers gave him ample time. He didn't get over. Looking to probably hang around the NBA. And if word gets back like, hey, Doc, Pat Bev goes, hey, I was going to sign with you, but I talked to Doc. And he said, what a horrible organization you guys got. Oh, did he? See what I mean? So it was Doc's a good guy, man. Doc's always going to ride for the team that he was with. And never a bad word to say, which, again, nobody's knocking Doc Rivers on being a bad guy overall. But it was like, hey, you know what? That's good on Doc. And then I started thinking about going, like, well, what else is Doc going to do? Don't go there. Come with me to OKC where I'm going to be off the bat. Like, I don't know what he was thinking, but it was a pretty interesting thing. Like, hey, by the way, a big reason why I'm here is Doc said I should be, and it's going to be a great spot.
Which is funny, though, for a guy that ultimately is on the veteran's minimum. Like, he's making the lowest dollar amount that you can. Like, it's not like Pat Bev was sifting. Maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe a bunch of teams were offering him the minimum. But it's not like Pat Bev had a world of offers, I guess, and he was trying to go through all the best ones. You know, clearly he didn't get better. I would imagine he didn't get better than the minimum.
I do like the fact that Pat Bev is a Sixer. He's one of the guys that where he's not on your team, he's sort of annoying, but he's kind of interesting if he is on your team. So now you got P.J. Tucker and also Pat Bev on there. It's a couple agitators on defense.
Yeah, here's the thing. Let's not drag down P.J. by pretending that he and Pat Bev are the same level of effective. Here's the thing, DRS. The Lakers were hoping to win, and they thought it was best for their basketball team to get rid of Pat Bev. He's not the guy that he once was. There was a point in time where Pat Bev was a legitimate, you know, positive player on the defensive side of the ball. Those days have come and gone. Pat Bev is essentially a meme, right? That's really
taking
what
his shirt
is.
Off, spinning it around, having some fun.
But that team, like that moment, Donnie, like that Minnesota team quickly got, like, was willing to get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? It's just.
Yes.
He's not. He's famous, Pat Bev, but he's not. You know, he's in the news for all the wrong. I don't want to say all the wrong reasons, because sometimes that means actually. Pat Bev is never in the news because of great basketball things. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah. Agitator and, you know, crossing the line a little bit, getting under your skin. We always remember the times like Russell Westbrook, him and going back and forth, and just the comments on, you know, some of the guys I really have to get ready for, but if it's Chris Paul, like, I'll go out to the club and get hammered and just show up half hour before game time and I lock Chris Paul up. Like, I do enjoy some of that stuff. But as I said again, it's kind of annoying when it's not your team, but it's when it's your team. It is kind of interesting to watch where, you know, he can rile up an opponent, but do it for your side.
It is interesting that ESPN media tour he went on didn't result in, I don't know maybe how much it could result in. Like, he just does a podcast now. Like, I don't know. Maybe he still wants to play, but he couldn't have gotten. What kind of bag could he have gotten from ESPN? Could he have gotten more than the vets' min to go sit next to Stephen A. during NBA season?
Oh, probably. Yeah, no, probably. Yep. Or one of those things where if they wanted him, they'd say, hey, look, what's your open market right now? Well, it looks like about $3.5 million. All right, we'll give you that $3.5 million. You don't even have to play. You come to work here half the season, and we'll go live to your house, and you show up at games, we'll give you that same amount of money. That's why it's so advantageous for some of these guys getting, like, into the booth in football. Like, whoa, you want to give up? Yeah, I'll give up football. I work 1 or 2 days a week and make more money, or at least the same money, that I did when I was killing myself. But he probably does have a future in, you know, getting back in. But it is hard to give up that limelight, though, when you're in it.
Now, just to take the open kind of shot you just gave there. Is Tom Brady calling games this season or what?
No. I think he got cold feet, to be honest. But I don't know how you get cold feet at that money. Like, you've never done something before. It keeps you in football. They're going to pay you an amount where everybody goes, well, I don't even understand. Like, we're going to watch this game for Tom Brady. He's going to make this much money. And you see all, like, forget the cord cutting of cable. Like, the cord cutting of cable companies cutting their own people here. And it's like, oh, yeah, Brady's going to make, like, $30 million or whatever it is calling games. It's almost like it doesn't even compute. But something was always obvious. Like, oh, I'm going to push it off till next year. I'm like, hold on, Tom. You're pushing back, like, $30 million guaranteed dollars when you're not working next year. Either he's like, you know what, I'm just going to be an owner. I know that within 2 years. I'm not messing around. But it wasn't as if Kevin's like, hey, by the way, we'd love to have you as, like, the C team with $3 million a year and work your way up. They basically said, here's $300 million. Talk football for half of the year, and we'll pay you this much. He's like, you know what? Let's keep pushing it back. Something doesn't sound right.
I totally agree. I think you're absolutely right to call into question what is actually the story there, because it doesn't. I do think part of it, though, is Tom probably doesn't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't want to do something he's going to be bad at. It's not that easy to just be excellent, Donnie, right away in that booth, despite what any of the thoughts may be. And they put him in the wrong spot. Again, people tuning in for Tom Brady means you put him. It's Charles Barkley. It's Shaquille O'Neal. People tune in for Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. Legitimately, people really do. Nobody tunes in to listen to Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, and Mike Breen. And I don't mean to, I don't say that to be rude, but it's the truth.
But in that respect, though, like, that booth, so it doesn't bother me. There are a lot of people that bother me. Like, if you can just get me a group that I like, is a little bit endearing, knows what I'm talking about, has fun, I'll watch more because of that. But you give me a booth with some of these people, like I tell you right now, Kevin, Philadelphia sports, when I turn on a Phillies game, it's hard for me to watch. Their booth is that bad. Do you see what I mean? But their radio crew is sensational. And I'm saying, like, if you put the radio crew on TV, I'm like, you know what? This is an enjoyable experience. But I know the path you're going. It's not like, hey, the NFL, Kevin, we're not drawing anymore. We got to pay superstars just to get you to tune in. Right. Like, in the NFL, it usually autopilots itself. I felt like the Booger Mobile. Have you ever gone like, I can't listen to this broadcast because these buffoons are on here? Not really.
Like, look, at the end of the day, right, like, we do a pregame show here on Sports Grid, and I think we do a really nice job, and I'm excited about it, but we're talking different levels of pregame show, right? The pregame show that the NBA does with Charles, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie is a draw. I don't like it that much. I think it's insane that part of the draw is that Charles doesn't watch basketball.
Yes.
And Shaq, while being a part owner of the Kings, doesn't know who's on the Kings.
Yes.
But for me, I'm not into it. But a lot of people feel like you, and they absolutely adore it. Donna, the NFL, right, is number one, they get everything right. How many people do you think could name an NFL pregame show with, like, the same confidence that they named the Chuck and Charles one?
Yeah, like the NFL one on Fox, right, with, like, Howie, Jimmy Johnson, and all them. But,
sure.
Again, what, like, me being in the business is a little bit different. I should say us being in the business is a little bit different there, because we're usually doing shows like that as opposed to watching them there. But if Fox lost that crew, I wouldn't even miss a beat here. Like, they rotate people on ESPN through so fast year to year on those NFL countdown shows. You're not watching it because, oh, Chris Berman's on it. Like, way back in the day when they were more like rock stars. But now, if you change the entire telecast for a two-hour pregame show, it wouldn't bother me one bit. Like, I don't think you'd lose any money on ESPN. Like, oh, well, I can't watch them now.
But I think that, imagine if Tom was on that desk. I think there would be legitimate interest to see that first time Brady was on the desk, and what does he have to say?
But I think you're right about the one thing with the TNT show. It's not necessarily a pre- and post-game show. It's just like the cameras go on, and they just take shots at everything. Like, if Brady went on with three other co-hosts, and they're like at halftime of a Monday Night Football game, Kevin, they're like, guys, this game stinks, man. Like, whoa, we got something here.
But that was Tom's personality ever since he left New England.
I don't know.
He loves taking shots.
Let me get
shots.
That. I need him to take shots here. If he's taking shots, I'm watching, and he's worth every bit here. We'll be right back. Quick break. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment here before we get hour number two underway, and your phone calls 844-843-6879. And it's all going down on a Thursday. We're going to find out where JP is going in just one moment here. But by the way, quick update from Codified Baseball, which is an account. Give some interesting statistics every once in a while. How about this one, Kevin? Days since they had a pitcher with 12 strikeouts, which means the team itself, right? So Minnesota and New York Mets at day zero because they just had that. The Philadelphia Phillies one day, Cincinnati 3 days, Arizona 3 days, Toronto 6 days. You get the picture, right? Mm-hmm. So you're just going down saying, when is the last time this team had a 12-strikeout performance out of its pitcher? Do you know the bottom five teams? The Chicago Cubs, 1,382 days.
Whoa,
the Boston Red Sox, 1,390 days. The Detroit Tigers, Kevin, 1,462 days. The Colorado Rockies, 1,770 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Last place, St. Louis Cardinals, 1,839 days since their pitcher had 12 strikeouts or more out of any one of their pitchers. That's an incredible thing to look at.
Years.
Yes, years. 6 years, is that about what? 6 years for St. Louis? We had like 12 Ks? We're not talking about, Kevin, oh, no-hitters or perfect games. 12 Ks. And the amount of teams that strike out at will at this point, that's pretty impressive.
And again, like, you only need a guy. Like, the Cardinals are, it's funny, like the when you said the Rockies, right, you're like, yeah, okay, of course, like it's Colorado kind of thing. But, like Wainwright or, I don't know, Flaherty had a run at it. But it also doesn't have to be your best pitcher either, right? Like, it can just be a guy.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, and you see, like, oh, 12 pitchers, that's a really good performance. Like, yeah. Like, you have 162 starts out of starting pitchers here for that entire season here. And some teams going, like, the Cardinals of all teams, too. Like, how the Cardinals go that long? I could see Colorado. Like, well, nobody strikes out of season long enough because they're in Colorado. Where's Tampa Bay at that? Tampa's 10 days. That team would probably be last place because they let their pitchers go three innings and pull them here. But that's interesting stuff. Hour number two, JP's picks, and much, much more. Stick around.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.